Now, friends, you heard me say some things yesterday that may have surprised you in what Paul points out here in Romans chapter 14. There are no set a list of set regulations. There is no legalism here. This is a whole message under the rubric that Paul gives a little earlier, that we may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We're learning, we're growing in how to love and how to care for the world, and in the process we are proving. Now let's look at this a little bit more. Colin Cook here, and how it happens, this wonderful broadcast, not wonderful because of I'm giving it, but it's wonderful because of its content, which is the book of Romans, which is about the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Father has sent God, his son. The Father has done this. Jesus does not have to convince the Father to love us. God has sent his Son because he already loves us and has given a solution to our sins. Jesus has become the one successful man in Israel who has performed all that the covenant requires, and we are by faith, therefore, in him, received into that covenant. With all your struggles, my friends, maybe an addiction to drugs or alcohol, maybe an addiction to sex or to food issues, but as you keep faithing in Christ, yeah, that's a word I just created, faithing in Christ, you are received into the covenant with your struggle and the ongoing process of training your faith. Now look, Paul says, therefore, this is chapter 14, he's talking about these food issues and that, and he's talking about them not because food is an important issue, but because food had the potential to separate Gentiles from Jews, that is, Gentile Christians from Jewish Christians. Paul wanted to say that these things cannot be and must not be a dividing line between the two of you, the two groups. And we have to take that into account ourselves, my friend. Let nothing in your life be a dividing, a barrier between your brother who is also in Christ. Paul says, you may think that you're free to eat food offered to idols, and he may be including clean and unclean meats here. That's your liberty. You are free. Nothing is impure in itself, he says. But if your brother sees you doing it and he's weak in faith and he would like to eat that meat, but if he does, he'll get all guilty and be so concerned in his conscience that he will become ashamed, afraid of God and guilt-ridden, then you've harmed your brother. So he says, therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify one another. Do not destroy the work of God, he says, for the sake of food. All things are indeed pure, but it is evil for the man who eats with offense. I'll talk about that in a bit, that last bit. But he says here, following, it is good neither to eat meat or drink wine or do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. And to top this off, he says in 1 Corinthians 8, verse 13, therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never again eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble. Now, you may say, well then, where is my freedom? Where is my liberty if I can't express it? And here Paul, going back to Romans chapter 14, verse 22, and I pointed this out yesterday, but I want to emphasize it more. Here Paul says something incredibly interesting and surprising. Do you have faith, that is, do you have faith that you can eat these meats that are offered to idols, and possibly including clean and unclean meats, and I certainly think that is included, even whether Paul has that in mind or not, because Paul, Jesus declares all foods clean. Do you have faith that you may eat this, you see? Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. Now, do you get the meaning of that? You've decided, by faith in the atoning work of Jesus Christ, who has freed you from all guilt and shame and fear, who has taken away his abandonment so that you are no longer abandoned, you are no longer reckoned in your human sinful nature, you are no longer condemned by the law, you are no longer under the power of death. Because of all these things, you decide, well, I didn't think that I was free to have a little wine for my stomach's sake or a little wine with dinner, but now I realize I can. Or I didn't feel free to go to the movies years ago, but now I realize I can pick a healthy and a reasonably good movie and I can go and see that. Or I didn't think that I could eat pork, but because I came from a Christian Seventh-day Adventist background or Christian Jewish background, but I realize now that I can. Or I have been trying to overcome, you might say, a sexual struggle and a sin, and I always thought that any masturbation experience that I would have would be evil and wrong, and so I sort of quarantined my whole body, but now I'm realizing I can do this. Now, you see, these are liberties that you may be beginning to realize are yours, and you go forward and move into that liberty, but then in the process you begin to start feeling guilty. Like Peter, you know, when he realized he had liberty to eat with the Gentiles, and he's eating with the Gentiles, and perhaps they are eating meat that's been offered to idols, but they're Christians now, and so they recognize that there's no power in an idol. But then he's beginning to doubt, and especially does he become fearful when some of the Jewish Christians walk in on him and see this, and he gets up and excuses himself while he goes to the bathroom or something. Now, do you see, then this is the kind of person that recognizes he has a liberty, but then halfway through the process gets all doubtful and starts condemning himself. Now, Paul says, happy is the man who does not condemn himself in what he approves. Now, why should this be important to you or me? Because, my friend, in your freedom, in your growing liberty, you are going to find a liberty that is breathing fresh air into your soul and giving you greater courage to go forward and greater joy in your life. And you're realizing that that courage and joy and happiness to be able to do things that you couldn't do before has a very galvanizing and strengthening effect upon you. But then some of your old fears creep in, and you're becoming nervous and slightly guilty and then ashamed and fearful of what the brethren or people at church might say, and you pull back and draw away into fear. Suppose, for example, a man in prison. He's been there 3 or 4 years, say. He has fulfilled the terms of his crime or his irresponsibility. He has had some good recovery programs in jail, and now he's about to be released. But he's afraid. He's afraid of his liberty. He's afraid that he might be tempted again. What does he do? Does he say to the authorities, no thanks, I'd rather stay in prison, I'm safer here, I won't kick over the traces, I won't make any mistakes here, I'd rather stay in jail? No. He has to leave, and he is thrust out there into the world where he suddenly is in the position of exercising his liberty. He's afraid, maybe, that he'll start drinking again or that he'll start using drugs again. Those little fears creep into his mind, but he casts them out by faith. He says, no, I must go forward. I can get a job now. I can perhaps go back to school. I can do this and that and the other. Do you see, we are all afraid, my friend, of liberty. You may have been in an addiction for years, and the only safety you know is to keep yourself locked up, to keep yourself in a kind of chain, to put chains on you to restrain yourself. But God has brought you to a different place now. Paul says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 22, but the Scripture imprisoned everything under sin so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Now, before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then, the law was our guardian until Christ came in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under the guardian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. Now you see, you and I are learning that we are no longer under a guardian. We are no longer imprisoned under the power of the law, which stimulates sin and reveals it to us. We are now free in Jesus Christ. And this freedom is a bit scary. And you will be tempted, as a struggler with addictions, to lock yourself back into your little enclaves and your little hovels, your little psychological hovels, your little caves, to keep yourself from sinning. You'll be afraid to go out. You'll be afraid to venture out into the world, to get to know people, because you'll be afraid that they will tempt you, or you'll be tempted by them. You will be afraid to go to certain places because they will remind you of your old haunts. Now, I'm not saying you take a libertarian attitude and you don't care and you just do your thing in this liberty. No. But you do step forward and move out in your liberty to expand your soul, to expand your mind, to grow beyond your confines that you have known all your life to keep you in control. That is the liberty of the sons of God. And this is part of what Paul is talking about here in Romans 14. Exercise that liberty, because you can't be confined and be shriveled up and minuscule, but do not exercise that liberty in such an offensive way to others that they are tempted by your liberty, for they have not found the faith that you have yet in the freedom that brings in Christ that brings a different kind of control. And so you go forward, my friends, and you recognize that there are certain things that you may do privately between you and God, and you are happy when your conscience does not condemn you for what you now approve. To give you a rather glaring example of this, my friends, years ago I decided to go to a gym when I was back there in Pennsylvania. I belonged to that gym for many years. Now, with a person like me with a homosexual orientation or background, people would look askance at that. They'd say, this man is going into the area and the realm of temptation. All these half-naked men around, sometimes naked in the locker room, or muscled men, that would be surely a temptation. But no. My understanding and my experience told me I had to go where I could learn to deal with my issues. I had to do what Paul says here. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. So I went forward in faith because I knew I had to get around men and learn to be an ordinary man among men. Because part of the breaking through of this addiction is learning to be a man among men, that is in the homosexual addiction fact, a man among men before you can be a man among women. And this is what I did then. And I sought not to doubt. Look at verse 23. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats. That is, he who partakes in these situations is condemned already if he's in a doubtful situation, if in a doubt in his mind. So you go forward in faith, knowing that you are not condemned, believing that you are free to do what expands your growing experience and enables you to break through some of your old thought patterns and your old heart attitudes. Quite an illustration, right? You will find many such experiences and illustrations in your own life. Go forward in faith, not in doubt. I'll see you next time, my friends. Cheerio, and God bless.